ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 5 लॉर्ड ऋषभदेव्स टीचिंग्स And it's text 14. Karmashayam Hirdaya Granthi Bandham Avidya Asiditam Apramattaha Anena Yogena Yatopudesham Samyag Vyapoheo Parameta Yogat Karmashayam Hridaya Granthi Bandham Avidya Asiditam Apramattaha Anena Yogena Yatopadesham Samyavyapo aprameta yogat Karma ashayam The desire for fruitive activities Hridaya granthi The knot in the heart Bandham Bondage Avidyaya Because of ignorance Asaditam Brought about apramattaha, not being covered by ignorance or illusion. Anena, by this. Yogena, practice of yoga. Yatha upadesham, as advised. Samyak, completely. Vyapohya, becoming free from. Aparameta, one should desist. Yogat, from the practice of yoga, the means of liberation. Translation or purport by Swami Krishnadesi Bhaktivinoda Swami Shri Prabhupada ki. As I have advised you, my dear sons, you should act accordingly. Be very careful. By these means, you will be freed from the ignorance of the desire for fruitive activity, and the knot of bondage in the heart will be completely severed. For further advancement, you should also give up the means, that is, you should not become attached to the process of liberation itself. Please repeat. As I have advised you, my dear sons, you should act accordingly. Be very careful. By these means, you will be freed from the ignorance of the desire for fruitive activity and the knot of bondage in the heart will be completely severed. For further advancement, you should also give up the means. That is, you should not become attached to the process of liberation itself. Purport. The process of liberation is Brahma Jigyasa, the search for the absolute truth. Generally, Brahma Jigyasa is called Neti Neti, the process by which one analyzes existence to search out the absolute truth. This method continues as long as one is not situated in his spiritual life. Spiritual life is Brahma Bhuta, the self-realized state. In the words of the Bhagavad Gita, 1854, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma na shochati na kankshati samha sarvesh bhuteshu mad bhaktim labhate param. One who is thus transcendently situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything, he is equally disposed to every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. The idea is that to enter into the para-bhakti, the transcendental devotional service of the Supreme Lord. To attain this, one must analyze one's existence. But when one is actually engaged in devotional service, he should not bother seeking out knowledge. By simply engaging in devotional service undeviatingly, one will always remain in the liberated condition. Mam cha yoga yo avibhyacharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityayan brahma bhuya kalpate. Bhagavad Gita 14:26. The unflinching execution of devotional service is in itself brahma bhuta. Another important feature in this connection is anena yogena yathopadesham. The instructions received from the spiritual master must be followed immediately. One should not deviate from or surpass the instructions of the spiritual master. One should not be simply intent on consulting books, but should simultaneously execute the spiritual master's order, yathopadesham. Mystic power should be achieved to enable one to give up the material conception, but when one actually engages in devotional service, one does not need to practice the mystic yoga system. The point is that one can give up the practice of yoga, but devotional service cannot be given up. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.7.10, Atmaram cha munayo nigrantha api urkrama krame kurvanti ahetukam bhaktim ititam bhuta gunahari. Even those who are liberated, Atmarams, must always engage in devotional service. One may give up the practice of yoga when one is self-realized, but at no stage can one give up devotional service. All other activities of self-realization, including yoga and philosophical speculation, may be given up, but devotional service must be retained at all times. Om Agyanam Timnasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunyata Yene Tasmei Shri Gurve Namaha Namam Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Itinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisheshu Nevadi Pashacha Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advait Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavanda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Yeah. Sorry, Krishna. It's nice to be back. And thank you again for the nice hospitality. So, Lord Rishabhdev is talking to his 100 sons, giving them instructions before he leaves. And one thing I like to do is just read the translation of the previous four verses that we did yesterday, because and then we talk about this, because there's a continuation there. So the translation from the text 10 through 13 is, it's a little bit long one. O my sons, you should accept a highly elevated Paramhansa, a spiritually advanced spiritual master. In this way, you should place your faith and love in me, Supreme Personality of Godhead. You should detest sense gratification and tolerate the duality of pleasure and pain, which are like the seasonal changes of summer and winter. Try to realize the miserable conditions of living entities who are miserable even in the higher planetary systems. Philosophically inquire about the truth, then undergo all kinds of austerity and penances for the sake of devotional service. Give up the endeavor for sense enjoyment and engage in the service of the Lord. Listen to discussions about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and always associate with devotees. Chant about and glorify the Supreme Lord, and look upon everyone equally on the spiritual platform. Give up enmity and subdue anger and lamentation. Abandon identifying the self with the body and the home, and practice reading the revealed scriptures. Live in a secluded place and practice the process by which you can completely control your life here, mind and senses. Have full faith in the revealed scriptures, the Vedic literatures, and always observe celibacy. Perform your prescribed duties and avoid unnecessary talks. Always think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Acquire knowledge from the right source. Thus, practicing Bhakti Yoga, you will patiently and enthusiastically be elevated in knowledge and will be able to give up the false ego. So Prabhupada in the purport writes that here Rishabhdeva has summarized the entire process of how to get out of this world, how to be liberated. Now the question is, did anyone keep track of how many instructions there were? Yeah. There were 20? In the verse? Okay, good, yeah. So, and I was thinking about it, you know, you can say, yeah, that's fine, Lord Ashwadev, you have said that, but I, how do I do it? How do I do it? And so in this text 14, text, he's saying that, as I've advised you, my dear sons, you should act accordingly. Be very careful how you do it, you know, and so on and so forth. And if you do this, then you'll be freed from all desire for sense gratification, fruitive activities. And then he says something which is also very important. And if you do that, but then if you want to advance further, you should give up the means, the process. That is, you should not become attached to the process of liberation itself. And so when I was thinking about it, gee, at least myself, you know, I cannot do all these 20 things, right? I'm sure some of you might be able to. So what does that mean? Do I go back to Godhead or do I don't go back to Godhead? But the answer lies right in the very first sentence of the translation in the last verse. And also Prabhupada emphasizes that in the purport on this shloka. And that is the first thing that Rishabhdev is saying is what? You should accept a highly elevated Paramhansa, a spiritually advanced spiritual master. Okay? And if we do that, Prabhupada in the previous purport and here also, he keeps on emphasizing this. I think it was Hanuman Swami, I've said this before. He said, is Hanuman Swami or Ganapati Swami? He said, if you take a look at almost any purport that Srila Prabhupada has, and Tattva Prabhu, you can corroborate that, in all the purports, it'll cover these four or five things will be there all the time. That we are not the body or the soul. We should accept a guru. Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we should do bhakti yoga. You can take just by any purport, and Prabhupada keeps on emphasizing that. And sometimes people say, well, you know, Prabhupada keeps on repeating it. You know, so what's new? And the thing is, he's repeating it because even after all this repetition, we have problems doing those four things or understanding those four things. We keep on saying we are not the body, but we spend so much time on our body. We keep on talking about Krishna as supreme, okay? But do we really follow his orders if he's supreme? And the very first order that he gives, or the very first thing that we need in Bhakti Yoga, is, and Prabhupada is saying in the purport also, is accepting the spiritual master. And not only accepting the spiritual master, and Prabhupada spends a lot of time in this purport, on this one part of the shloka, anen yogena yathopadesham, that just accepting the spiritual master is not enough. As Prabhupada said, it's not like, he said, nowadays people accept spiritual master. Like, it's very fashionable to have a dog, and it's very fashionable to have a spiritual master. Right? And so, one should not accept a spiritual master just for showmanship. We should accept him with the firm faith that when we accept the spiritual master, that's how Prabhupada says that that we are surrendering to Krishna. The last instruction that Krishna has is Sarvadharman Praitajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. How do you do that? What is the practical application? The practical application is that one surrenders to Krishna by surrendering to his devotee. Now, how do you surrender to the devotee? By following what he's saying, by doing what he's saying. And we don't have to go any further to look for an example than Srila Prabhupada himself. If you read the Leelamrit, if you read his lectures, Prabhupada says again and again, he said, I have no qualifications. I had no qualifications except what? That I tried to follow, or tried to obey, or tried to execute the instructions of my spiritual master. And if you do that, that instruction will contain all the 20 things or 19 things or 18 things that Krishna wants us to do. So it's very, very important. And I always ask initiated devotees, you know, tell me what was your guru's instruction? And many times they say, well, it was a mass gathering and he just gave us the name. But you will see the instructions there, and if it is like that, where there is no specific thing, you know, Dinyal Prabhu, this is what I want you to do. I've always thought of this, and this is my conjunction, I guess. Meditate on the name that he has given you. There's a purpose, there's a reason why he gave you the name that you have. In fact, you take a look at Prabhupada. Remember in his prayers on the ship, he said, Krishna, help me fulfill the importance or the import of my name, Bhakti Vedanta. Prabhupada, you take a look at it, I mean, he had Vedanta's knowledge and Bhakti, he had both. Perfection. And I know I've talked to my Guru Maharaj, and he says, you know, I mean, it's like when somebody is being initiated, it's not like he just does it for the moment. He says, he spends the evening before thinking about what name should be given. That's just a tip. I mean, I'm saying, you know, that whatever name you have has probably the instruction in it. But what Prabhupada is saying is that, and the other thing is not only that is the instruction, but one should not deviate or surpass the instruction of the spiritual master. Follow as it is. And that's very important. You take a look again, Prabhupada again. I've always thought of that, wondered about it. After Bhakti Sanat Maharaj left and Prabhupada was still in India, India was was at the throes of independence, and India got independent in 1947. There was a big nationalism. People at that time were debating, you know, the English are out, we should have Hindi as a language, or we should have, you know, so on and so forth. He could have said, well, yeah, my spiritual master said that, but you know, maybe I should do it in Hindi or Bengali, that's my language. He said, no, English. And when you take a look at it, even in India, when 99.9% of the audience sitting the pandal was, didn't know Hindi at all, I mean English at all, he spoke in English. And I wondered about that many times. But he was following the instruction of the spiritual master. I mean, I get very nationalistic. You know, again, I'm still on the body platform. I'm in India, or I'm here. And, you know, when I come here, well, maybe I should learn a little bit of French, and I should learn this, and I should learn that. And we all do that, and, which is nice for preaching. And, but Prabhupada, you take a look, sitting in Vrindavan, and in fact, you know, the devotee is wondering, but he said, no, I'm preaching to you, so then you can preach. Because I'm almost gone. I'm going to die any day, I'm pass on any day. So his focus was, so they are sitting here and they know English, and then they will understand Hindi, and there are a lot of Westerners, devotees, who did learn Hindi and Bengali, Jayaprataka Maharaj, Bhakti Vikas Maharaj, all of them. But he was following the instruction of the spiritual master as it is. Okay, and he did not deviate, he did not surpass it. Now, he expanded the instruction, which is different. Okay? But he did not, and Prabhupada, you say, I'm not here to invent something new. I'm here to repeat what the acharyas have said. And Prabhupada makes that point when he was giving, he gave a lecture on this verse itself in Vrindavan. And he writes there. You know, the one way to follow the instructions of the master is to follow the parampara. Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai. Is to repeat what the previous acharyas have said so. I think all of you probably know of it. Bhujan Prabhu writes it, is in this connection, Prabhupada had such firm faith that that Krishna, in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text 40, 41, he talks about Vyavsayatmika Buddhir. He said, when Prabhupada, in fact, let me quote that. When Prabhupada read the commentary of the Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur on that verse, that's when he fully got convinced that the whole and sole purpose of our life is to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. In fact, let me do that. Vyavsayatmika Buddhi, one-pointed intelligence is required for success. This is from Bhujan Prabhu's book, Surrendered to Me. The one-pointed intelligence is required for success. So what is the one-pointed intelligence? Srila Prabhupada once told his disciples that in the 50s, before he spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world, he read the commentary on this verse, written by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He said he was struck by the commentary which further fixed him in his resolve to follow Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's order to preach Krishna consciousness in English. This is what Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur wrote. Of all kinds of intelligence, the best is intelligence focused on bhakti yoga. In bhakti yoga, once intelligence becomes single-pointed or fixed in determination, one thinks the instruction of my spiritual master to worship the personality of Godhead by chanting, remembering, serving his feet, and so on, are my only sadhana, my only sadhya, my only livelihood. I am incapable of giving up these instructions, either in the stage of practice or in the stage of perfection. They alone are my object of desire and my only responsibility. Besides them, I can desire no other responsibility, not even in my dreams. It is all the same to me whether I feel happy or unhappy, or whether my material existence is eradicated or not. So, so you can say, this is exactly what one thing that is coming out in this purport that the Prabhupada is saying is yathopadeshan, to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. He writes further, Prabhupada here, one should not deviate from the, or surpass from the instruction. One should not be simply intent on consulting books, but should simultaneously execute the spiritual master's order. Okay, we spend so much time in trying to, let me see what he said. We have a tendency trying to adjust that instruction depending on our desires. Right? It's like two examples come to my mind. I was talking about that name before. I actually met a devotee couple. And this is on record, maybe they'll hear it, I don't know. They're not from here. And the husband's name, Ruri's name was Brahmamurut Das. Brahmamurut Das. His wife's name was what? Can anyone guess? Mangalarti. And then I happened to ask them, they were a young couple. I'm a little bit older, so I have liberty to just do. So I said, well, how many Mangalartis do you come to? And Prabhu said, well, Prabhu, that is the one thing that you still haven't, mastered it, or following the instruction of the spiritual master. Now, just think about it. It's not like they got the names afterward. They got it so almost independently, and they got married. Right? And they were doing everything else, very nice service, everything else, except Mangalarti, or getting a Brahmurat. I mean, we just laughed out. I mean, there was no, ordering and no sort of criticism intended there. They were a young couple. They just got married. And they said, yeah, we're struggling with that. But they had that in mind. I don't know the devotee. Just talk about adjustment we're trying to, I heard his spiritual master in front of me saying, okay, your instruction is to help Anantarup in the temple, to assist him. This is in the beginning of the Bodhi Center that opened. He hardly had any help. And he told me, right in front of me, your instruction is to assist Anantarup. Yeah. So one day I finally confronted him, sort of. He said, yeah. He said, well, yeah, he said that, I know that, but he said, but that means only when there's an emergency. And I said, I never heard that part. And then I said, well, even if you say that is true, who decides what is the emergency? And so I'm concerned, every Sunday feast, every Sunday is an emergency in our household. But he was good to that. But then who decides emergency? And so literally at one time, I was involved in a car accident. Krishna saved me. The car was totaled and I had my hand got really badly messed up. I had stitches on my hand. And he helped me. It was an emergency. I mean, that part was, and the doctor told me, don't wet your hand, right, for at least 1 week until the stitches are on. And so in those days, we did everything, right, from deity worship to cleaning to cooking. I mean, just 3-4 of us, you know, we did everything. And Sunday came. It was the third day of my injury. You know, I had bandaged everything else. We came in the kitchen, and he refused to wash dishes. He said, it's your job, do it. And I said, Prabhu, you know, no, you're fine. So we get into this. He's talking about this Hridaya Granthi. We have all these things where we, Prabhupada is saying, is that we try to adjust the instruction according to our selfish desires. And we will not get success. You take a look on the other side, Srila Prabhupada, 3 heart attacks, being bloodied almost to death by a cow's horn in Vrindavan. He didn't give up. Resolute. I have to do it. Walked in the hot sun. I have to write back to Godhead. 60 years. 40 years. I mean, he started back to God in 1944. So we have such a nice example. Because the other thing that we do is, Prabhupada is mentioning all the things that we have, the excuses and our why we do this. He says, sometimes we follow instructions, we do this yoga practice, this and that, for mystic powers. And Prabhupada is saying, mystic powers should be achieved to enable us to give up material conception, not to get more power. And therefore, I was meditating, and Prabhupada writes that this we should not get attached to the process. It's almost like there are many people, once their disease is gone, they still keep on taking the pills. You know why? They get addicted to the pills. These painkillers, that's the biggest problem. We have a pain, we take the pain medication and we never stop it. So we get attached to the process. And the process, in a way Prabhupada is hinting here, is the process of knowledge. Knowledge only sufficient enough to understand that Krishna is supreme. Once we have that, then we have to put knowledge to practice, and that is bhakti yoga. And that will give us additional knowledge if we need to. But this idea of, well, let me keep on searching for Guru, let me keep on reading it, let me really find out exactly who I am and what kind of person I need and who should I take a Guru, and I still need to, you know, study this and study that, then that is dangerous. And therefore, Prabhupada, he says, the process of liberation is Brahma Jigyasa. When you have Jigyasa, curiosity, you read. Try to get knowledge. And generally that Jigyasa is, well, neti neti. This is what the impersonalists do. They're trying to, let me find God. Well, he's not in this cushion. Well, he's not in this tile. Well, he's not in this wood. He's not in this chair. Neti neti neti. What's the other way to find God? You work. You get the answer. And so Prabhupada is saying is, in the beginning of the purport, this method continues as long as one is not situated in his spiritual life. When you become situated in the spiritual life, when you find out, well, Krishna is there, then the process should stop and we should start serving the object. Okay? And so Prabhupada says that spiritual life is Brahma Bhuta. The spiritual life starts with Bhakti Yoga. And Bhakti Yoga means we accept Krishna as supreme and we accept his representative, the guru, the advanced devotees, the devotees, as the object of worship, the object of surrender. So that's in this very last part, because that happens quite a lot with all of us. Oh, so I've done devotional service, I've done enough, you know, I've paid my dues. Prabhupada saying is at no stage one should give up devotional service. Again, we take a look at example Srila Prabhupada. I mean, you take a look at the age of 70 in New York. He was cooking, cleaning, all part of the devotional service, doing deity worship. At no stage, I think, Prabhupada stopped. Even at the time of on his deathbed, still dictating purports. He could say, okay, let me now just for 1 minute. Right? So that's at no stage one can give up devotional service. So essentially, summarizing is one should get the spiritual master. Prabhupada says that in the previous part, yesterday, Jayakrishna Prabhu talked about it, you know, that first thing is Guru Pada Ashraya. It's the first thing. And then let him tell us of those 20 steps, which ones he wants us to focus. And the life becomes sublime. I'm going to stop here. Any questions, comments? Yes. Yes, so you're talking about Shiksha Guru. Shiksha Guru, you can take Shiksha from anyone, as long as, you know, but the Shiksha should contain that he or she is leading us to Krishna. The ultimate Shiksha, the ultimate is that, and that's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. In fact, Prabhupada talks about that in the lecture he gave. He talks about that. Who's Guru? And he quotes Lord Chaitanya that whoever is talking about Krishna, I'm very poor at quoting shlokas. Yare dekhe, tara dekhe. That's Krishna. So that's one thing. We take a lot of instructions. Our, you know, primary school teacher who taught us our ABCD and our math teacher and so on and so forth. So there's, and they all should be respected. But the question is, among all those, we respect them because are we ready to surrender our lives? Okay. So and you have Pratpadishka Guru and you have Shiksha Gurus and you know, you have the family guru, okay, all those are there. But of all those, Sadiksha Guru, that when you do that, that's the one that you say, okay, I'm going to surrender to you. And so then he becomes the final representative, I guess. That, so we have to find that person. And that is a sort of a, one of those again things, a convenient sort of excuse. Yeah, Prabhu, I have a guru. But the thing is, Krishna saying is full surrender. Sar dharman pratyajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. That is the ultimate, you know, guru. So we'll go through several Shiksha Gurus. That's very true. And they all should be respected. I just went back to India and a few weeks ago. I went back to my old hometown and in my high school, that old physics teacher was still there. He was the only one left, like about 6 months before retirement. And I met him, Raghunath Prasadji. And I bowed down to him. He hugged me. He said, you know, even after going to America, you're still doing this, you know? And I said, well, yeah, you're still a guru to me. He's really impressed. You know, so that is true. Now, and that kind of guru, I mean, he was never really upset, because this is a very common issue, especially with Indians. When they come to the West, like they're in Boise, Prabhuji, you know, I already have a guru. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, this Guruji is my father's guru and he's coming to our family and I've always been serving him. And, you know, I know I should give, you know, you're talking about, you know, Prabhupada and his disciples. And, you know, but I cannot, you know, why? I said, no, wait a minute. You know, you come to America, right? Yeah? So you went to high school in India, right? You had high school teachers, they were your guru, right? Why'd you come to America and take a new teacher, new advisor? You had one that in India, right? And then it makes them think. Right? And the thing that I said, because he had more to give to you. And I can assure you that when you go back and you meet your high school teacher, he'll be very proud, very happy that you went to America, got a PhD, and you have this advisor who's a Nobel Prize winner. I don't think he's going to criticize you. Oh, you left me. You're a traitor. That never happens. So yes, I said, yeah, you can have many groups. You have family groups. I had a family group. But then we have to find that one guru who says, okay, you jump into the well. And they, you see in the Shastras, right? Sandeepni, well, who was the Muni, right? In the rain, they said, go get firewood, and then there was blinding rain, and he fell into the well, so on and so forth. So, does that clarify anything? I'm sure if you answer that. Yes. Sure. Yeah, so that's true, but I'm saying even within our own movement, you know, we have 80 sannyasi gurus, right? And they're all worshipable. But then you have to pick one of those that you can say, okay, from now on, you are my life and soul. Okay. So, yes. Go ahead. You're right. The only thing that I have, and I've heard this before, is, and the point has been raised again, I'm repeating it again, we get shikshas from so many of those, but there will be only one person that we are ready to surrender 100%. And so Krishna wants to see that surrender. Krishna is not looking for how much knowledge you have, how much shiksha you have. That's the other thing, that in our tradition, shiksha or knowledge is a little bit lower, quite a bit lower than bhakti. So that's what diksha does. Really, I mean, in that sense, you're right. And I give the example of Bhakti Sanat Maharaj. Gaurav Babaji literally was illiterate. He put his thumb. But I think you've read it. If you want to read Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav book, very nice, and we have known this before. What do you say? That when he got diksha from Gaurav Babaji, he said when he put his foot on his head, he said, I thought the entire knowledge, the purport of all the knowledge came into me. Okay. So, the other way I took a look at it is, especially nowadays, why do we get married? Something about that marriage license, that, you know, versus you can cohabit for years. Why do we hesitate to get married? Because you always think, well, you know, I'm not sure if I want to stay. Right? So this is very convenient. Say, okay, I got shiksha and Prabhu, I know, you know, that Maharaj I gave me everything I don't need to about Gita, and he is giving me everything about Bhagavatam. Krishna is saying, where is the surrender? That if he puts his foot on your head, you won't jump up and put the foot aside. Because Krishna is looking for the surrender, and the surrender will never come till we actually go through the process, you know, the fire yagya, and yes, you are my life and soul, and this is what I'm going to do. Otherwise, yeah, we can. Yeah, you know, we have so many shiksha gurus. Yes. She had what? Yeah, go ahead. And that depends on each individual guru. There's some who just say one sentence, fine. The other ones will, like you said, will advise. Or they will keep on adding to the instruction and changing to the instruction. You know, it's like even in our family, I know this. Right? Technically, there's no difference between the uncle and the father. They're both from the same father, same reason. My uncle says something and I do it. My father says something, I do it. But then there's time when the uncle says, do this, and my father says, do that. Which one should I follow? Father. So, I've seen that also in our case. Gurus come, sannyasis come to Boise, and we talk to them, they say something. But the other thing that I've found personally myself, and again, that is, again, the bhakti yoga, when you do devotional service, you find out that there's really no difference between the two gurus. Because there's Guru Tattva, Lord Balaram. And so I've seen that my guru is sitting in Delhi. And I have this burning question. I've sent an email, the answer is not there. And this has literally happened many times. And the very next day, Hanuman Swami walks in. He'll be here next week, right? Andrup, how are you? And we start talking, and he is giving the answer to the question that I had sent to my Guru Maharaj. You see what I'm saying? So, if the parampara is genuine, is Guru genuine, it's like same thing as, it's like, I don't know if the example is related, but there's one question asked by someone, this is, I think happened in East Europe, they was telling me that some devotee was offering the offering to his guru's picture. And then after he asked his Guru Maharaj, he said, what does this mean? I mean, you're standing here, I mean, I still have to serve you, and, you know, did you eat? And he said, the question is not that did I eat or not eat, did I get the prasad or not get the prasad? I mean, through the picture. But thing is, Krishna is happy. Krishna is seeing that, yes, you're following the instructions and you're doing that. So what I'm saying is, if you ever get into if your inquiry is genuine and the guru is genuine, both of them, you will not get a conflicting answer. The only thing is, your personal guru knows you. So his answer will be the same as the other ones, but it'll be more sort of molded to your nature. You see what I'm saying? A very crude example could be this. We all should be getting at 4:30 in the morning. Everyone says that. But your guru might say, it's okay for you to get up at 5. Because he knows, maybe you have a night job or you have a small child. It's okay. But he's not really deviated. He would deviate. If somebody says, you have to be there at 4:30. I've had gurus like that. Okay. But the deviation would be, you get up at 8 o'clock in the morning. And so, all I'm saying is, the instructions or the advice would be the same. Your guru, you will find, is not really different, is the fact that he knows you inside and out, and it may look like he's giving you a different advice, a different instruction. But that is especially based on, and I have Personally, I've seen that in my own life. Okay? There's never been a conflict. Mataji, you had one more final question? Yeah, so surrender, and so how do you see, there's certain, in fact, Prabhupada writes that it is a necessary formality. Somewhere he writes that in the book. Once again, why do we go around the fire 4 times and get married? The formality is required. It's a necessary formality. So yes, you have to find, but I'm saying you're right, and so yeah, you have to find the right person who will take you to Guru, and then to Krishna, and then the only way he'll take to Krishna is when you surrender to him. And then how do you show the surrender? You have to sign a treaty. Yeah, and so how do you find that person? Yeah, you're right. But the instruction has to be to take you back to God. You're absolutely correct. Yeah. And somewhere else he has elaborated, or someone who repeats. The son is qualified. Son can never be the father. But the son is qualified as long as he repeats the instruction. Yeah, so if you repeat the instruction, then the son has the authority to sign on the paper. It happens all the time. The postman comes in. Is your father there? No. Can you sign for him? Yes, my father has given me the authority. And that instant, I am the father. So, and again, I think we get into a lot of other issues, but if you clearly understand that, the way I have kept my thinking straight, as Krishna says, I will only take you back to Godhead if you 100% surrender. Krishna is not standing in front of me. He is and he is not. And so he's looking for the surrender through a guru. Ultimately, what I've found, the basic issue is we have problems surrendering. The day you're ready to surrender, I was telling the story, I think I was telling the story to Bhakti Matt here, last time I came, the day you surrender, Krishna will send you the guru that's good for you right at your doorstep. You don't have to go guru hunting. The day you're ready to surrender, Boise is a small temple, that's a nice thing about it, and I've seen it in all the devotees that we have made. I'll tell that story real quick. I was telling Matt and the other person. He said, the very first devotee that we made, I don't know, probably if you met him, his name was Sadhu Margaret. He was from, and he came, Scott, and he loved the process. He came and said, well, I need to go to LA. LA is about 1,000 kilometers from, 1,200 kilometers from Boise. Why? I need to find a guru. I said, you know, Scott, you don't go guru shopping. No, he said, Yashoda Mataji. Yashoda Mataji. He said, well, LA Rath Yatra, there are about 12, 15 gurus. So you go talk to them. I said, yeah, if you have money, you go talk to them. So he went. He came back after 3 days. Scourge finds, no, I talked to everyone, but everyone seemed like he didn't have the right answer. Just think. He didn't appeal to me. I asked him questions and I didn't like the answers. He doesn't even know what to ask. So that was like July or so. And so, well, I need to go to Chicago because the Chicago Rath Yatra is after that. I said, Scott, believe me. And, you know, and then he overheard me and said, Ganpati Maharaj was coming. I said, okay. He said, can I talk to him? I said, yeah, you talk to him. I'll arrange for you. And so I called Maharaj. I said, Maharaj said, yeah, I'll be coming there. Your Sunday feast is at 4 o'clock and 5 o'clock in the evening. I'll be there about noon. I said, well, I have this new bhakta and he wants to talk to you. He said, okay, come to my camper at 2:30, 2 o'clock. And so I told Scott is waiting that whole Sunday. you could see his eagerness. That was true. You could see his eagerness. And so Maharaj came at noon and he went shower and we were busy cooking, me and my wife. And probably Radhika Raman still remembers him. He was about 5 or 6, I don't think Gopal remembers. And we were doing this, and 2 o'clock came, Scott went inside, and about 3:30 he comes back out into the kitchen, and he's like smiling. And just, so what happened, Scott? Did you tell Maharaj anything about me? I said, no, I said, Scott, I didn't have time. You can see where. He said, why, what happened? Well, he seemed to know everything about me. Question he asked, he gave the right answer, and just like, he knew exactly what was going in my mind. And I said, Scott, I told you. He said, can you ask him that I want to be his disciple? I said, you go ask him, it's fine. And that's happened again and again. Guru shopping never works from that perspective, that I'm going to have this, you know, 10-page survey questionnaire like we're doing in marketing for our college. Yes, no, do you like this? Do you know Bhagavad Gita? You know this? That never works. But that's what we are. The more we get knowledgeable, that's what we want to do. Or does he know Brahma Sanhita by heart? Or can he do this or can he do that? That is not the way. We ask Krishna. Prabhupada said the only prayer that we can ask Krishna is, please send me a sincere devotee of yours that I can surrender to. That's all. And Krishna will, if you're genuine, the day Scott's desire became intense, he wanted to Krishna send him right in Boise. Tattva Prabhu knows it's in the middle of nowhere. At least, Septon Derby is only, 50 kilometers from Brussels. Boise is in the middle of nowhere. So we have to believe the scriptures, we have to believe the process, and we have to contain our ego. Ego comes in, how should I surrender to someone? Hare Krishna. Sorry for keeping all this. Thank you.